Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this series about walking a labyrinth. The whole idea of this inner journey, walking through this labyrinth in a meditative state, all these right turns, trying to stimulate the right side of the brain into an altered state of consciousness while you're chanting, and then you reach the center, this porthole to the divine where you commune with the divinity of your choice, and then you walk back out focusing on unity and, well, just that whole practice. And today we're just going to keep going with it. We're going to learn a little bit more about this walking the labyrinth practice, and eventually we're going to get into the different groups that practice this walking a labyrinth. And again, I told you yesterday, it has pagan roots. Well, I'm not going to leave you hanging. There are groups all around the world throughout history who have practiced this walking a labyrinth. And it is never in a Christian context. Never, never, never. Okay? And so, again, I just want to bring that up. We should not be taking something that is wicked, which is evil, which is perverse, that God hates, and then take it into our church building, slap a Christian label on it, and call it good. Okay? That's not what we do. God hates when we do that. And so my job is to point out that it is a pagan practice, so that we can get it out of our church. All right, so let's jump right in. And by the way, these, and I kind of mentioned this before, but these labyrinths, a lot of times, are designed using concepts found in Buddhism. And they're supposed to be physical representations of the spiritual realm, designed to aid in meditation. So they use a lot of times mandalas, which basically means circle. And, you know, it occurred to me today, it was pointed out to me today, and thinking back, I guess there are some interesting similarities. A church that I went to that I got saved in, a very hyper charismatic church. It's okay, friends. I've gotten over a lot of the stuff that was there, but one of the practices that we had there, it's kind of interesting, and I'm not going to make a hardline stance on this, but I think it does have some strange parallels to this whole walking a labyrinth thing. We would arrange the chairs in a circle, and then we would walk around these chairs in a circular pattern. And like I just mentioned earlier, it's oftentimes about that circle. And I also mentioned that counterclockwise, yesterday I mentioned that counterclockwise is the direction in which you walk if you want to awaken this Kundalini spirit. Now, guys, I'm not saying that the pastor and his wife at this church were even aware of this. I just think there's some interesting connections here. We were taught that if we walked in a counterclockwise direction in this circle, it would unwind. There's that word. It would unwind the works of the enemy. It was also said that it would tear down the works of the enemy. Let's be fair. But they would say that it would unwind the works of the enemy. Now, another interesting parallel is that, like the labyrinth, in the center of the chairs, it was said that, and I'll mention this as we go on here, New Agers claim this as well, in the center you will find a porthole to the divine. Okay, and again, pick your divinity. Well, we would walk around these chairs. If you went into the center, it was said that there was a porthole that you could then stand there and commune with God. Now, guys, you know, people will claim, let's step away from that practice that we did at the church there. People will claim that I've heard it said that Satan will take the things of God and pervert them. And I suppose in some cases you can make a good case for that very thing. But this walking a labyrinth practice is not taking something of God and perverting it. It is taking something that is perverted and then taking it into the church and trying to redeem it, trying to slap a Christian label on it. Again, I'm not saying this is what that church was doing. In fact, I'm not sure if they were even aware of these similarities. I really hope that they weren't. But I just think it's interesting that I took part a couple times, but they were doing these things and they had such strong similarities to this walking of the labyrinth. Anyway, let's move on here. And anyway, yeah, it's just basically designed to bring about a meditative state. So where do we get these labyrinths? Well, apparently they've been around on the earth for 3,000 to 3,500 years. I guess it goes back to that first labyrinth. You know, a lot of you are already thinking of this. The labyrinth, the story of the guy Theseus, who is winding through a labyrinth. He's got his yarn, his string, and he's trailing it behind him so he can find his way out. He's going to the center of the labyrinth to confront the Minotaur, which is one creepy giant guy with a bull's head who was conceived by a relationship with a woman and a bull. That sounds real cheery. But anyway, he ends up conquering the bull and making his way back out of the labyrinth. You know, he's conquered his inner struggle. And that seems to be the first mention of a labyrinth. Now, people actually reenact this labyrinth story with, you know, King Minos and Theseus and the Minotaur. They actually reenact this in celebrations, which is, I don't know, kind of bizarre to me, but I guess we celebrate by hiding Easter eggs around our yard, which is kind of weird, but that comes from paganism as well. Anyway, moving on, this labyrinth now, this concept, ends up finding its way all around the world in different pagan thought processes, different religions, different practices, none of them Christian. Okay, it doesn't show up in Christianity, actual real Christianity. Yeah, it does show up in the Catholic Church, and we'll talk about that. But it doesn't show up in the mainstream Christian thought process until just recently, where these liberal churches, and so I guess I should say Christianity very loosely, but these liberal churches start bringing in this pagan practice of walking a labyrinth. And again, we're going to look at a lot of different pagan groups that use these labyrinths, but I'm going to give you a lot of quotes along the way of different people from different faith backgrounds and how they see these walking labyrinth rituals, okay? And so here is Kimberly Lowell. She's the president of the Labyrinth Society, okay? So she's somewhat of an authority on this whole labyrinth thing. She says this: the labyrinth is an archetype of transformation. Its transcendent nature knows no boundaries. Crossing time and cultures with ease, the labyrinth serves as a bridge from the mundane to the divine. Another website promoting labyrinths calls it a porthole to the divine. New Agers believe that the labyrinth helps them transcend into an altered state of consciousness. In that state, they believe in becoming one with the divine universe. After one centering, they can exit the labyrinth to take their newly found spiritual awakening and revelation to the world. And I mentioned New Agers here, also Wiccans. If you guys remember, when we went through the study on Wicca, Wiccans walk labyrinths too. In fact, they have huge festivals where they will walk labyrinths. Well, they'll set up a big labyrinth, and they'll do it at night by candlelight, and they'll walk these labyrinths. Now, these are Wiccans. They're not Christians, and they've been doing this a lot longer than the Christian church. It's just something to help you think here. Some Wiccans will use labyrinths as a symbol as well. You'll see them wearing them on amulets and stuff like that. If you look labyrinth and Wicca up on Google and do an image search, and you may not want to do that, but I find that when I do Wicca searches for images, you end up getting your eyes filled with some images that you really don't want to see, honestly. But anyway, they do have a labyrinth symbol that they'll put on some of their amulets and different things they wear around their neck and bracelets. Another symbol, okay, and good luck, Boehm, trying to pronounce this correctly, but another symbol that they will use is this Hecate's wheel, okay, and it's a labyrinth type thing. Now, this Hecate apparently is a goddess of the crossroads, or at least she was a goddess of the crossroads until she became a goddess of sorcery and magic. That's a whole nother story, and I'm not going to get into it, but this Hecate's wheel, it's another, if you guys hearken back to my series on Wicca, it's another symbol representing the mother, the maiden, and the crone, this triple goddess, right? It's another symbol representing the triple goddess. And check this out. This Hecate's wheel, it resembles a labyrinth, and it's supposed to symbolize a serpent that is spiraled around in a circular pattern to form a maze. It's supposed to symbolize the serpent's power of rebirth to the labyrinth of knowledge through which Hecate could lead mankind, and to the flame of life itself. You get that? Sometimes when you read stuff from Wiccans and other witches, it is just so bizarre and cryptic. But anyway, all that to say, again, this is another direction, another group of people who have been using these labyrinths far longer than the Christian church. So again, I say, Christians, wake up. We got to get these out of our churches. You know, if you've got this in your church, maybe you need to hand them these podcasts. I don't know. Or do your own research, or cut and copy and paste the podcast notes off of my website, print them out and hand them to your pastor and say, hey, I am concerned. And you know what? If your pastor takes it serious, praise God. If he doesn't, well, guys, I really don't think you should be there. Honestly, I'm just saying. This we're supposed to be walking in holiness. And again, we can't be taking that which the world has done and meant for wickedness and then slap a Christian veneer on it and say, hey, this is good. This is good. This is of God. We're getting closer to God here. No, we don't do that. We shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, let's stop right there. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. By the way, guys, I have some podcasts there that you cannot find on Sermon Audio. I just produce more content than I can afford to post at Sermon Audio at this point. So anyway, they are there under the menu heading website exclusive podcasts. Also, I really do want to talk to you guys. So leave comments and questions. Give me feedback. Let me know what you want me to talk about in the future. And let me know if you have any questions. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.